T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Tonight, it's Mr. Overnight, Big Ben Maller. Let's get it going with Ben Maller. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
We'll call this the naked bootleg, but not that kind of naked bootleg as we begin here anew. And I was listening to some of the other guys earlier yapping about random things. But I've been waiting for this opportunity here to unload on Kyrie Irving. And I can't let this go by. Now, I know there's other stuff that's happened today. I can't compel myself at this point to do a deep dive on Trey Flowers. Can't do it. Not going to happen. But the Kyrie Irving decree, which has continued to reverberate all over the place here. This is right in my wheelhouse. This is like if you're a high ball hitter in baseball and the pitch is like right at your shoulders and you are just ready to unload and hit the thing into the upper bleachers and all that stuff. So the Western Road Trip, I think we can do this here. I have confidence in the EEI listener here on Late Night that we can pull this off, because I realize that within the hour the Celtics, about 40 minutes from now, are going to play the first game of this road trip against the Golden State Warriors, and there's a mild level of interest in that, but we can squeeze in, kind of like when you squeeze an orange, we can squeeze a little Seas Talk here, which some have told me in the past is a recipe for disaster, not a recipe for great sports talk radio, that it's a recipe for bad things. But I follow the Gilroy model that you can successfully discuss the Celtics. In fact, I would argue of all the teams in sports going on right now in Boston, and they're all playing, right, except the Patriots, who are playing the parlor game of the offseason, but the better story is in the losing locker room. So for where my training as a classical sports talk gas bag, this is the top story, right? You have palace intrigue, the walls crumbling, a team that was a game 7 win away from the finals last year, now circling the drain, grown men acting like children. This has all the ingredients. This is my kind of story. And I assume you've heard some of the chatter here. I know I'm late to the party with Kyrie Irving, the salvo that Kyrie tossed out as they had the shoot-around this week before tonight's game with the Golden State Warriors. But better late than never. So Kyrie Irving I did the math here. I used Maller math. I believe this is the 764th time that Kyrie has complained that he's tired. I'm so tired of the media, the boogeyman, the media. Oh, God forbid. God forbid. Like, I've been around the NBA media a lot. I know it's changed a little bit since I was regularly covering the NBA as a radio schlub. But my takeaway from the media that cover the NBA is they are your cheerleaders. They are like having your mom, the overbearing, loving mom who thinks you can do no wrong, following you around. That is how most of the NBA media operates. They love you, right? I mean, so Kyrie Irving saying, I am tired of the media, which is something he's banged the drum on many, many times in the last couple of weeks here. Seems like since mid-February, Kyrie, maybe even earlier than that, he just went, that's it, I am done, there is a line in the sand, I'm out of here. So we should get out a very small size violin, like a Kyler Murray sized violin. Doesn't get much smaller than that. The quote which I would like to focus on, because I'm this kind of a guy, is the money quote from Kyrie this week. And he said, quote, I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, be famous, be a celebrity, whatever embodies that, close quote from Kyrie. So I want to talk about this with you and give you some different perspective on it. Now, the obvious question is, do you believe Kyrie Irving? Do you believe that Kyrie Irving has a legitimate beef here, that he is genuinely annoyed, and that the reason he's annoyed is because of the boogeyman, the media, or is this some kind of concoction that he has come up with here? I am going to go with the latter. I know that's going with the popular opinion of popular people, but my observations on this Kyrie Irving story, which is going to continue, because you have to imagine the Celtics are likely going to lose to the Warriors in the game tonight, and then there will be microphones and cameras right in front of Kyrie Irving's locker. Well, win or lose, there will be, and they will say, "Hey, Kyrie, what happened? Why'd you lose the game? What's up with that?" And then he's going to get his sourpuss on, and he's going to complain, and there you go. All right, so I don't believe Kyrie on this. The disingenuous is the word that popped in my head, but some other observations here. You've got chutzpah, the chameleon, and postal. And we will lock all of this together. Now, number one, Kyrie Irving, in that interview, and I hope you heard, I know it's been played here, and we played some clips on the station yesterday, last night, and today, and if not, it's readily available on social media. But Kyrie Irving, in my eyes, looks like a total phony. He is as fake as your typical Instagram booty model. You know, there's a lot of work done, camera angles to make for the perfect photo. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Kyrie Irving was defending himself. Like, this whole kind of began with Kyrie defending himself along with LeBron and Durant. And he made it seem like these guys are beyond reproach. Like, how dare you? He whined about the scrutiny and the exploitation. And that's his word. He used that word, exploitation. It's so unfair. That's my word. So some advice here for Kyrie. I recommend you only you only have to watch the state-run NBA programming. But I have noticed, I give the NBA a little bit of credit, like a little dose of credit, unlike the NFL and Major League Baseball's state-run channels. Like, those are complete propaganda for the leagues. They very rarely will be critical of the players. Every once in a while, once in a blue moon, and I don't mean the drink, they will come out and say, well, so-and-so is a bad guy or something like that. But typically, it is filtered, heavily filtered. But in the NBA, they are a little more liberal in handing out criticism, certainly more than baseball and the NFL. But the NBA knows that they're selling the soap opera, right? You're selling the soap opera. And Kyrie, I guess the term that popped in my head here is, it's something that used to be said quite a bit in my house when I was growing up. My grandfather said this quite a bit. And my mom, my dad says this. The word is chutzpah. Like, Kyrie Irving has lots of chutzpah. While complaining about the media coverage, I don't know if you saw this or not. I hope you did. It's been going around for a little while now. Did you see what baseball cap Kyrie was wearing? Did you notice while he is standing on his bully pulpit, pointing his finger down at the evil media, did you see what Kyrie was wearing? He had a baseball cap. What was on the baseball cap? That's right. You did see it. It said two words. Uncle Drew was what it said. are we supposed to believe that Kyrie is Hollywood's first introverted movie star? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Like, I know in radio, I work in radio. I'm introverted mostly. A lot of people in radio are introverts. Like, they're not extroverts going to television. I've said this for years, because in television, you know, you want everyone to look at you. In radio, you're introverted because you want people to hear you but not really look at you. We hide behind the cover of the magic radio box that we live in. But Kyrie Irving wearing an Uncle Drew hat is the definition of chutzpah. Uncle Drew had a box office budget. They had a $19 million budget. They grossed, that movie last year grossed $42.4 million domestically. So it wasn't the greatest hit. And the problem with that kind of a movie is it only sells to an American audience. I don't think they made very much money at all outside of the United States, because even though basketball is a global game, the whole Uncle Drew thing, you got to explain that it was a soda pop commercial and the whole thing to get people outside the U.S. to watch. But here's the great thing about, you know, the irony of this and all. Kyrie complaining about the media, wearing an Uncle Drew hat. That movie, which, you know, was not one of the all-time greats. I don't think it'll be compared to Gone with the Wind and Casablanca and all these other classical movies. That movie, Uncle Drew, according to Box Office Mojo, which keeps track of all this stuff. It's a good website, by the way. If you're into movies, you want to check out how much movies make, boxofficemojo.com. It's a good website. But they have all the numbers. They ranked, according to their statistics, how much money movies make based on just finances. The movie Kyrie Irving was the headliner in, Uncle Drew, in 2018, was the 17th highest grossing sports comedy of all time. Now, they've been making sports comedies for at least 50 years, and likely a lot longer than that. But you think of some of the great sports comedies that are from like the 70s and the 80s, and they've made a few ever since then, and even before that, I would imagine they made some. But in terms of box office, the movie that Kyrie Irving, who says he does not like the media attention, does not like the cameras in his face, didn't sign up to be famous, to be a celebrity, he doesn't like that, 17th ranked sports comedy of all time, earned more money. If I were to say, what is the greatest sports comedy of all time? There'll be people that will say that golf movie, Caddyshack, right? Kyrie's movie made more money than Caddyshack at the box office. It made more money than Happy Gilmore, which was another popular movie back in the day. I know the economics are, hey, they charge more for movie tickets, so of course these movies are going to make more. But still, you know, 17th all time is not... that's not mincemeat. That's good. That's really good. And by the way, now Kyrie Irving's next film project has already been announced. Remember this a couple months ago, they announced this, that once the Celtics are done playing, the way they're going, that could be by May 1st, they could be out. But Kyrie Irving will have a starring role. That means in front of the camera. That means craft services. And I'm not talking about Bob Kraft. I'm talking about craft services. That means you get the whole shebang there. You get the trailer, the whole deal. He will have a starring role in an upcoming film about the Skirvin Hotel. Now, what the hell is that? It's in Oklahoma City. Now, if you follow the backstory on this, the Skirvin Hotel, there's a hotel in Milwaukee like this, but the Skirvin Hotel is the Oklahoma City one. The legend says it's haunted. It's a haunted hotel, and many NBA stars who have stayed there have claimed to have encountered paranormal activity, and they're going to make a movie about it. And it reminds me of a story years ago when I was, I guess this will come across as a humble brag, but I'm doing it to tell a funny story. So early on, I traveled with a baseball team, the Dodgers, years ago, and we're in Milwaukee. And they have a hotel in Milwaukee, which is said to be haunted. But the team couldn't stay at that hotel anymore because they had a player on the team by the name of Adrian Beltre at the time. It's a long time ago. He's retired now. But Adrian Beltre slept with a baseball bat. And legend has it, at one point, was outside of his room swinging said baseball bat in the hallway at what was supposed to this haunted hotel in Milwaukee, because he thought he had seen the ghosts and the goblins and all that were invading his territory from some other dimension. Maybe they were the Greys or what's the new thing, the Hobbits? I'm trying to keep up on all that. Anyway, all right, so that's his next movie. The other thing about this, what do you do when you make a movie? You have to promote the movie. What do you do when you promote the movie? You have to go on the red carpet, you have to do interviews, the whole deal, the whole thing. Now, the second thing, Kyrie, again, I'm not to belabor the point here, but Kyrie playing the victim card from the bottom of the deck, which I find amusing. as we chat here on Late Night on Sports Radio WEI. I find it amusing because part of the allure of playing basketball is to be the hero. From the whatever, you know, you, whenever you start growing up, you watch basketball and you follow it. Like the first time you play basketball, what does everyone do? Like, I would say this is 100% of people, when they watch basketball as kids, that sweet spot age between the ages like 9 and 12, right around there when everything's great and new and wonderful and the whole thing. Like, around that age, when you watch basketball with your family or your friends and then you go out and play basketball, everyone imagines clock running down, final possession, ball in your hand, you've got to make the shot, crowd goes wild, cameras in your face, you're the hero. Like, everyone does that. Kyrie Irving did that. Kyrie even admitted it. Like, that's part of it. He said he wanted those things when he was younger, but now he's like an old guy because maybe he has really become Uncle Drew at the ripe old age.
Don't do him like that, Uncle Drew!
Exactly. He's 26 now? He's had enough fame at age 26? That's it? I'm done? Finito? So this idea that Kyrie doesn't like talking to reporters, and it's to the point now where he's offended that he has to do all of it. I find it amusing. Again, I keep going back to that word amusing. It's part of the job. Making $20-plus million a year. He's well compensated, which is great. Congratulations. It's his life. It ain't my money. But the NBA bylaws, they include media availability. The NBA, they know to help promote and spread the popularity of the NBA, it is part of the pack. And you say, well, they don't really need that anymore. It's outdated because they have social media. Okay. Well, according to Adam Silver, social media is killing the NBA, that players are shut off from the outside world and they hate each other and their lives because of social media. But Kyrie is, the word is cunning. He's cunning with reporters. He's like a chameleon because I've seen him. He has the ability to be very charming. He can put on the charm offense if he wants, and then he can change personalities and be sulking, and he's like a swindler. All right, now the final point here, which is Captain Obvious checking in, there is no job, none, that is perfect. I mean, you have to weigh the good and the bad with anything, right? I mean, anything you do. I'm pretty lucky. I have a pretty nice job situation going on, but I'm not going to pretend like there aren't some nights that even in a great job where you show up and you have to talk about sports, and the sports world is like pond water. Now, this normally happens in like May, and then after the NBA, well, actually more after the NBA finals, I guess so like June, from June 1st, let's say, all the way through the start of NFL training camp, but even that's kind of a dullard's paradise. So it's really like the start of the regular season. Like June, July, and August are usually where it becomes very tedious unless we've got a nice juicy scandal to break down. But the show must go on, right? I follow the United States Postal Service creed, which is neither snore nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night should stop the appointed rounds or something like that. But, you know, the show must go on. So, no, I have buddies of mine that have, like, real jobs. Guys I went to school with that have real jobs. They don't get to talk in front of the microphone all the time. They have real gigs. And they complain about a ton of stuff, and they love to tell me how much they complain about their bosses and how much they complain about their hours they work and underappreciated and all that stuff. However, you have to do what has to be done, right? Anyway, all right, so The other thing here is, are you at your tipping point? Let me take some phone calls on this in a couple of minutes. But are you at your tipping point? Now, I've talked the last couple of weeks I've been in here, usually one night or two nights a week. And so here's the thing. Right? Are you at your tipping point? Kyrie, this awkward, uncomfortable situation with the media, I mean, it is snowballed here, and it seems, from where I'm sitting here on this side of the microphone, that Kyrie has done so much damage that no one's going to complain if Kyrie exits stage right and runs off to play for the Knickerbockers or whoever. And the Celtics have a better winning percentage. He's only missed 12 games, but they've had a better record by a lot in the games that Kyrie has missed as opposed to the games he's played. And the offense gets bogged down a lot. Ball movement's much better. There's a rhythm. There's a cadence to the offense when Kyrie is not out there. It's very choppy and slow when he's in the lineup. It's like the great molasses offense of Kyrie. But I'm telling you, reading the temperature in the room, and very rarely am I wrong on this. Like if Kyrie said, I'm not coming back. I'm going to take the express train to New York, and I'm going to go hang out with other people, make Uncle Drew movies for years to come. Outside of some kind of radical transformation in the playoffs, he has rubbed so many people the wrong way. My theory is that this is, to this point now, it seems intentional, an intentional act of sabotage. You know, make yourself as unlikable as possible, thus torpedoing your reputation. But one of the benefits of that is you clear the runway of all of the debris and you have a smooth outbound departure. And you can leave the Celtics. And I understand it's all hearsay. It's all anecdotal evidence. But it does point to that direction. It absolutely does point to that direction with Kyrie. Now, there's other stuff out here tonight as well that we'll get into. We'll give out the number, though. If you would like to be part, the number 617-779-7937. Bridget is standing by. That's Weedman Hippie's favorite producer. I've worked with a lot of people over the years, but Weedman Hippie, who's a regular caller, loves Bridget. And a little scary. I think he's sobered up. We'll find out if he's sobered up, though, later. I'll keep him in purgatory for a while. Anyway, the number again, 617-779-7937. And also, if you want to get in on Twitter, read a lot of tweets on there. You can follow me on there, at Ben Maller. I know Terry has checked in. He's doing the full Maller Marathon, part of the European contingent of the Maller Militia. He's got the radio.com app up. He's listening there, and he's so dedicated. He is listening it's 3 in the morning, and he's locked in to EEI and the radio.com app, driving to work, and then he will listen to the others. He's doing like the full Maller Marathon. It's a lot. He's got a lot of stuff going on. All right. Anyway, again, 617-779-7937. Just one more footnote on Kyrie. There's a report out from The Ringer, which I don't really read that much, but they had a story out which was interesting, caught my attention, and some people have sent me this my direction, so I thought, why not? I'll pass it on. Kevin O'Connor, the great Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, he has some new dirt on what's really wrong with the Celtics. I read that headline, what's really wrong with the Celtics? And that gets my attention. I'm like, I liked it. Because I want to know what's really wrong with the Celtics. I'm sure this guy at the Ringers knows everything that's wrong with the Celtics. But here's the key part of this, the meat part of the story. You can read it for yourself and tell me if I'm wrong on this. But the meat part of the story to me, O'Connor wrote, sources around the team, meaning the Celtics, told him that Kyrie Irving's persona has changed. Well, I think that's kind of obvious. That the quote continued here. He's become disengaged and detached from those around the team. There's talk that Irving's friendships on the team start and end with Jason Tatum. It's according to this Ringer report, with whom Kyrie shares an agent. Ooh, he has to be friends with Tatum, right? They have to be buddies because they have the same agent. The Ringer story also said two sources peg Irving's change in demeanor as starting early February, around the time he was asked about the possibility of joining the New York Knicks next season. All right, now, the first takeaway from this, I have no sources, and I just told you the same thing earlier. Everyone's been saying the same. You don't need a team source to say that Kyrie Irving's persona has changed. It absolutely has changed. Like, it's the way he is with the media. That alone is different. Now, whether or not Jason Tatum's his only friend on the team, who the hell knows? But did you see the clip before the Celtics played the Rockets? over the weekend. They had the proverbial catwalk, which is so NBA. So NBA. The catwalk where they have the camera as the player, you know, the players enter the arena, they have the runway, like the runway models. They walk to the locker room, and there's the camera crew there waiting and documenting all of their walk, you know, their walk to the arena, like a heavyweight fight. And that started 20 years ago. I forget. I had a Who Am I game question. Who was the person that started that? Like the catwalk. Because like when Michael Jordan, it wasn't really when Jordan was playing. Because when Jordan would come into the arena, he would not dress up at all. He'd wear like Nike jumpsuits or something like that. But now these guys are runway models. Anyway, get to the point, please. So Kyrie's walking in the garden over the weekend before the Celtics played the Rockets. And he sniveled under his breath, "I'm not going to miss any of this blank when I'm done playing." It is the only job where you show up to work and people have to be there with a camera to document everything. Very bizarre. Very. That and in baseball, when you show up to spring training, I always like the story, pitchers and catchers have reported to spring training. Not they've actually started working. They've just reported to spring training, which is always amusing. 617-779-7937. If you would like to be part of a referendum on toxicity. Say what? A referendum on toxicity. We'll get to that. What does it even mean? And we will do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You're locked into Late Night with Ben Maller on Sports Radio WEEI.
I just never thought I would say this. Kyrie Irving is to the Celtics what Paul George was to the Indiana Pacers. And I think the best case scenario for each entity is to have a divorce. I know Celtic fans don't want to hear that. I know they still want to win a championship, but regardless of what happens this year, I don't see this working out. When he's on the floor, they play a different style of basketball than when he's off the floor. He sat like the last 5 minutes of that fourth quarter last night, and they made a run and almost got back in the game. For a guy who's your bona fide leader, that's not a great showing. Minus 17 on the floor. And the only reason I give the equivalence of Paul George is, do you remember those last couple of games that Paul George had with the Pacers? You know, there's one play in the playoffs where CJ Miles took a shot that Paul George should have got. Mm-hmm. He said some words in the media afterwards. He started really divulging his frustration to the media. And I think that just accumulated and it started to break down the chemistry of the team. And I think that we're seeing the same exact thing happen with Kyrie. It's appalling to watch because this team has all the talent in the world that they should be there to win the conference finals.
That was Jay Williams, who you do not want on a motorcycle. Hot take from Jay Williams. Don't want to offend anybody. God, please stop. Stop. We're talking about that as the Celtics play within about 15 minutes or so. So we'll move on from this in a little bit, but we'll take some phone calls up until then. Let's go to Charles in Connecticut, who's up first here on Sports Radio WEI. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Ben. How you doing tonight?
Welcome, man. What's going on? Talk to me.
Listen, I blame a lot of this on Danny Ainge. Back in February, you mentioned it. They had an opportunity. You know, he was banging the Knicks. I'm going to the Knicks drum. Danny should have traded him and gotten whatever he could have gotten. The Celtics played great last year without him. And again, you mentioned just a second ago, fourth quarter the other night, he's a liability defensively. Anybody can isolate him and just take advantage of him. And of all people, Harden ate him up. It was pathetic. And they were a better team without him. The only guy the Celtics has given it who's really impressed me this year is Smart. He is playing his butt off for no money. The Celtics got him cheap, and I'd just like to see him go without Kyrie. I'm surprised Danny didn't pull the trigger at the deadline. I'm really disappointed he didn't.
I got you. All right. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it. Calling out Danny Ainge. Bad job by you, Danny. Well, I would like to go to someone who is protected by everyone around these parts, and that would be Brad Stevens, because is what's going on right now a referendum of the toxicity of the Southern? Is a referendum on Brad Stevens? Because the other big story here, the other big story around the Celtics and the palace intrigue around the Celtics is Jaylen Brown. Now, Jaylen Brown unloading with Gary Washburn of the Globe there. Here's what Jaylen Brown said. He said he is concerned, obviously, with what's going on. Celtics have lost 7 of the last 10, but it's the team's atmosphere. He called it toxic. He said toxic. Celtics have lost 5 of 6, 7 of 10, and they have, in most of these games, they've ended up losing by double digits. Here's the quote. Just imagine that I am Jaylen Brown. Just imagine I'm Jaylen Brown. He said, quote, "The losing is not a good feeling. I'm not too good with that," Brown opined. Quote continued. "Because right now it's not good." He already said that. He said, "It's toxic. I can't really point out one thing. I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to try to be part of the change. I'm going to try to do my best. That's all I've got to say." Close quote from Jaylen Brown. Now, keep in mind, this continues a pattern. The pattern which began with what? Marcus Morris. Remember Marcus Morris when he complained a while back and in his rant, he said that the attitude that the Celtics are playing with was the problem. The guys are hanging their heads. He complained about the body language, that it's not fun. That was the quote from Morris, that it was not fun, that they're not competing. That was a month and a half ago, essentially, that the Celtics were not competing at a high level and that they were at that time winning, but it's not fun. Now, my position on the not fun quote from Morris is, it's a job. It doesn't have to be fun, but this has to be a referendum on Brad Stevens, because there's different ways to judge coaches and all that, but the way I look at the NBA, for the most part, with very few exceptions, coaching in the NBA is about what? It is about controlling as much as you can the locker room environment, right? That is the main point. You're a caretaker, that you don't need a tactical genius in the NBA. Right? You really don't. That in basketball, it's the ultimate players league and all that stuff. In football, you need a tactical genius. It's been proven that play calling can overcome many shortcomings a team has. But successful coaches, in particular in basketball, you understand players' weaknesses. You hide them. But more than that, it's the culture, right? The winning culture and all that. That's the most important thing. And you look at the Celtics, and they were very good last year, but Brad Stevens has been unable to come up with the witchcraft needed to this point to right the proverbial ship. It is a hot mess is what it is. And it doesn't appear that there's any real change coming. Like, it doesn't, of course, you don't know there's change until it happens. I know Kevin Durant, I guess the final point here on the Celtics, we got some other stuff to get to, but the Kevin Durant spiel, and he was asked about the Celtics and his statement on the Celtics and their problems. And, of course, Durant, who has been tied, handcuffed, if you will, to Kyrie Irving, it's a package deal that they're going to be together in New York, and they've already got the deal done to go play with the Knickerbockers and all that stuff. But in the lead up to tonight's game, as the Celtics get ready to play the Warriors, Kevin Durant said they'll be fine. They'll be right up there at the top, he said, of the Celtics. So they lost a couple of games, but they've got the top talent. His quote was, "Some of the top talent on the team. So they'll be fine once the playoffs start." So he is not buying into the fear mongering, which is going. He's not doing that. But that's like the only way you can approach it. Now, as far as the odds, if you were to play the odds game, say, well, the Celtics, what are the chances they actually just flip the switch? We have seen it in recent years. We have seen it in recent years. Cleveland didn't do much at the end of last year. They got to the NBA Finals and lost. The Warriors. It was the Golden State Warriors last year. The last month of the year, they were just coasting along and all that. Here's the problem. The Celtics have a couple of weeks to figure this thing out, but I've seen no evidence up until this point that this is a sandbag situation. I have not seen anything to indicate that the Celtics are just kind of going through the motions, that they are not doomed when the playoffs start. Now, the good thing is they are on a collision course to take on the 76ers. And if that happens, well, that's a good thing, right? Because the Sixers, one of the kryptonites of the Philadelphia 76ers, this group of players, has been the Celtics. And even in the stretch where the Celtics have been miserable and bowled over on a regular basis, they have still had a pretty good time against the Sixers. So that part of it's encouraging, but just like there's no other indicators. There's no indicators. They don't seem to like each other. Brad Stevens, whatever kind of mental gymnastics he's trying to play here, hasn't worked. And the beat goes on and on and on and on. Again, it just doesn't seem like there's any end to this going forward. All right, we'll press on. If you want to be on Twitter and send us a message, you can. It's at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can be part of the show. Let's see. Can't read that on the air. Vols fan Jimmy says the Maller Marathon night pace. Says pace yourself and get your popcorn ready. Says you do need popcorn. Tony is upset that I pointed out they've been making sports comedies for 50 years. He said, thanks for reminding me that 1970 was 50 years ago, seeing how I was born before that. I don't know that. I don't have your birth certificate in front of me. I don't know when you were born, Tony. What do you want from me? How dare you? Should embrace it. It's a bad job by you not embracing it. Shame on you. If you want to send me an email, I've got a couple of emails I'm going to rant about later, because the bag o' email is open for business. It's ben.maller@weei.com. It's ben.maller@weei.com. So I want to change gears here in a large way, because a story caught my attention from Budapest. I think of Budapest, you think of a song maybe. I don't know. If you're hungry, you'll go to Budapest. So there's a big international, global scandal involving football, and some internal documents popped up on the World Wide Web, the dark web, the interweb, whatever you want to call it. And those documents, I am not a soccer guy. I call it soccer. I grew up playing soccer. But like most people, you get to a certain age and voila, you move on. You're not into it. But this story caught my attention. It's not so much about a soccer story as it is about a, holy crap, you're going to be in unbelievable trouble type story. So get to the point, please. So this Portuguese man, this comes out of Budapest. He was fingered by media reports as the person behind a WikiLeaks-like document leak story, internal documents from some of the top teams in European soccer. And this person was behind it, and now he is going to be extradited back to his home country. The court in Hungary ruled that, and he did not want this to happen. He attempted to block the extradition from that country. But he's in a world of trouble. And the lawyers of this guy claim they think that someone's going to kill him. That it is his life is now jeopardized because they've sent him back to Portugal from Hungary. And this started in 2015. He revealed details on how much players were making. how much the teams were paying. They pay these transfer payments, they call them, and all this stuff got on the internet, and it upset a bunch of very powerful people. The people that own these soccer teams are ridiculously wealthy, and like this, does this not sound like a movie though? Maybe Kyrie can star in that one. And this guy has extradited the authorities. Claim that they're trying to get all the other stuff that he's got. Apparently, they have a bunch of evidence already, but they're trying to get more. They want the external hard drive, the memory cards, and all that stuff. They're trying to get to the bottom of it. But they this guy's saying his life's going to die because he leaked some documents on the internet. Yeah, there you go. Good times. Why not? Good times. All right, time now for the Who Am I game. This is where we pretend to be somebody else, unless we call it the Who Am I game. Entering play on Tuesday night, that would be tonight, I have taken over 31,000 dribbles this season. The Toronto Raptors' four leading scorers, you know, guys like Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, Kyle Lowry, those guys, have taken fewer dribbles than I have this season. I'm a single player. Again, entering play on Tuesday night, I guess I'm the god of the dribble. I have taken over 31,000 dribbles this season. Can you believe they keep track of how many times you dribble the ball? You talk about a paralysis of analysis. But anyway, again, I have taken over 31,000 dribbles this season by myself. The Toronto Raptors' four leading scorers, which again include guys like Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, and Kyle Lowry, those kind of guys, have taken fewer than I have. Who am I? That is the question. If you know the answer, send me a message on Twitter at Ben Maller. That last name's M-A-L-L-E-R. It will give you the answer. We will do it next.
Ben Maller rocks late night now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I truly believe where if you create a system where Kyrie doesn't have to be the leading scorer, he can be that 1B guy. You know, that's a system that we saw him be very successful in. Now all the pressure's on him, all the defense, all the scout report is just all about Kyrie. You know, and it's tough for a small guard to lead a team to a championship. So if you can put him in the system to where maybe you have that other player who can be that
leading
scorer, I think he's a 1B
on
a championship team because he's already shown that. So maybe if one of these other Celtics can emerge as a 1A, a la Jason Tatum.
All right, so that was Paul Pierce. Yeah, the old Celtic guard, like Paul Pierce, I've seen some of the other guys that are on television occasionally. Antoine Walker, throwing it down with all that. So anyway, all right, so we'll discuss all this if you'd like it. But got to pay off the Who Am I game. We will do that here. Momentarily, and here it is. Entering play tonight around the NBA, I have taken 31,583 dribbles this season. The Raptors' four leading scorers combined, that's guys like Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, Kyle Lowry, those kind of guys, have taken fewer dribbles this season than I have. Who am I? That is the question. What is the answer? Let's see, does anyone know the answer? Nick in New Hampshire. I don't even know Nick, whose girlfriend left him, well, cheated on him, and he found out via Facebook. That guy, Nick. I like Nick, but I don't recognize that name. I don't know who that is. Who else? Tony's going with Ball Hog McGunner as his answer. Michael, clearly cheating, got it right. How dare you? How dare you get the question right, Michael? Shame on you. Robbie, the Mariner fan, the Trae Young fanboy, because he like, I don't know if he's a Trae Young. Well, he's more of a Kyler Murray fanboy, but Trae Young, he went with Trae Young. Who else? Terry in England is going, is it LeBron James playoff mode? Oh, God. I had one of the great nights I've ever had on radio last night. I got to tell you that story in a second. All right, anyway, let's see. Well, Michael's the only one that got it right, I think. I don't know. I got a bunch of answers here. I don't have time to go through all of them. The correct answer is James Harden. Fear the beard. James Harden. Is this not stunning? I guess it shouldn't be stunning, but the argument for James Harden is the ultimate ball hog and all that stuff, and the Rockets, it's uninteresting to watch the Rockets. I know they were just in town to play the Celtics over the weekend, but because of the way that Harden plays, it sucks. And James Harden, heading into play tonight, had taken 125 more dribbles by himself than the four leading scorers on the Toronto Raptors, a team that has a very good record in the Eastern Conference. And I ranted about this on the overnight show. I'll tell you why I had such a great night in a minute. But James Harden, comparing his streak to Wilt Chamberlain, because Wilt Chamberlain went 65 consecutive games scoring 30 or more points. And Harden, he went, 32 games with 30 or more points. That streak ended like a week ago or so. And I went and I looked up the numbers. I don't want to go too much of a basketball. I don't want to be too much of a basketball wonk because I think that's bad and I don't want to be that guy. But it is corroboration. It's verification. It's confirmation that Kyrie Irving gets a lot of help. In fact, people say, well, the Rockets don't pass him the ball. Well, he's dribbling the ball all the time. They can't pass him the ball. You saw that a bit, although Eric Gordon had a big game against the Celtics also. But James Harden, in his streak of 32 games where he scored 30 or more points, he was assisted, or I like to say gifted, with what percentage of his points from the foul line? How about almost 30%? 3 out of every 10 points that Harden scored during the streak came via foul shots. The officials allowed James Harden to travel during that streak. They still do. If the opposing ball player breathed too hard, they call a foul. Now, I went back and looked, because just for comparison's sake, for S and giggles, Wilt Chamberlain back in the early 1960s, a much different NBA, but Wilt Chamberlain went 65 consecutive games with 30-plus foul points, or 30-plus points per game. But what about foul shooting? Chamberlain scored about 21% of his baskets from the charity stripe. That sounds pretty close, right? It's only a 6% or 7% difference, roughly 27.8 to 21%. But using teams are not intentionally fouling James Harden. You talk to old school basketball people about Wilt Chamberlain back in that era of the NBA. Chamberlain was a notoriously terrible foul shooter. And so by the end of that streak, which was pretty much the entire season when he scored 65 straight games with 30 or more points, Wilt Chamberlain would be shooting 30 foul shots in some of those games. I'm not exaggerating. He'd take like 30 foul shots because teams, they like couldn't stop him because they were physically unable to stop Chamberlain. So what they would do is they would just like, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to foul him. It was the original Hack-a-Shaq situation. It was the original Hack-a-Shaq situation. That's what they did back in the day. And so it's a much different situation with James Harden. Just to follow up, though, I had one of the great nights of radio. I know you're very concerned about my radio, which I often find very complex and very, very difficult. But last night on the overnight show, I work at Fox also, and I was doing the overnight show, and I had one of the most wonderful victory laps I've ever had. I was on right after the Lakers were, for all intents and purposes, eliminated from any real playoff consideration, and it was wonderful. I did the equivalent of a radio roast. It was actually the LeBron James wake, and I rhapsodized on the radio for about 3 of the 4 hours that show's on. We had a live microphone camera set up as they were actually putting nails in the coffin of the Lakers as they were, eliminated and all that stuff. And it was just marvelous. It was just absolutely great. I enjoyed every second of it. I was enthusiastic. Everyone was loving it. People were piling on. And I did get a lot of the guys that called up. And, you know, I told you this was going to happen. Of course, none of those people called up when LeBron went to the Lakers. Now, not to blow this out of proportion, but since I've got a train of thought going with the NBA, and most of this hour has been about the Celtics. I know the Celtics are playing right now against the Warriors, and that game's underway early on. No need to watch the game. Well, I mean, you can watch, but the Celtics off to a good start, by the way. A very good start in that game against Golden State. But the LeBron thing, people are going over the top. Already it started. The people that carry the water for LeBron James in the media, and I've noticed it, and I don't want to overstate this, but they're saying how upsetting it is to think of the NBA playoffs without LeBron James. And I'm fine with it. Like, does anyone, like, if you're a casual basketball fan, you're not all in, but you're kind of into it. Like, are you really, like, in the corner sucking your thumb and you're like, oh, crap, I'm devastated because LeBron's not going to be in the playoffs? I think it's great. I think it is wonderful. And LeBron will still be in the playoffs. He'll be working with Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson, and Shaquille O'Neal on TNT. Or maybe LeBron will be on ESPN hanging out there because they've got studios in Los Angeles. But he'll still be all over the place. I think it's great because if anyone needed a couple of notches taken off the old ego, I'm going LeBron. I'm going LeBron. It turns out that dependability of making the playoffs and that reliability and all that consistency, it's gone.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
He's actually talking about how many games back they are. The Lakers are closer to finishing with the third worst record in the Western Conference than they are finishing in the playoffs, and it could not be better. It could not be better. It is wonderful, and it is directly related to LeBron James. Like, they got to fumigate the locker room there, and there's not enough deodorant available. I don't care, Old Spice or whatever, your Speed Stick, whatever you got, it doesn't matter. Irish Spring soap, it's irrelevant. There's not that odor. It is tremendous. And the other thing here to look forward to, this is likely to be the new norm. I said, well, LeBron will be back in the playoffs next year, and that's what most seem to think. That's the consensus. But there's so much snake venom around LeBron, and he's going to be 35 years old next year. You've got the law of diminishing returns in effect, right? The law of diminishing returns, and that is something else to keep an eye on as you age outside of a few players who were doing steroids. You don't get better as you get older. You peak, you plateau, and then you have the decline. And so, wow. Anyway, I just had to regale you with the joy that I had. It was wonderful. I will press on. We'll get away from the NBA and the gossip from the football world. We'll get to some of that, and it involves, well, the Patriots are not far away from any of this. They are tied to many a rumor. How much of that is actually reality and just made up to get people to click on stories on the interweb? We will discuss some of that. We'll get to it, and we will do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.